In my experience, a great many of us don't particularly like our bodies. Some of us hate our bodies. I would imagine only a small percentage could genuinely say we love our bodies, top to toe, flaws and all. This is a pity since we will never own or operate any piece of equipment as fantastic as the body we inhabit. Everything we do in life is done in and through our bodies. Our bodies literally must last a lifetime. This is obvious, but we often forget it until later in life, when we've taken it for granted and have already done it some harm. Luckily for us, we have some say in our physical well-being at any age through developing healthier habits. All the effort and energy we invest in cultivating our physical fitness is returned to us tenfold. What is fitness? I would define fitness as the ability to perform a task successfully. Ideally, it means doing so with relative ease and comfort. Although even if it takes all our effort, but we're successful, we're still said to be fit for the task. Fitness is specific to that which we want to achieve. A weightlifter's goal is to lift heavy loads. An endurance athlete aims to cover great distances, and a sprinter wants to run short distances at maximum speed. Each one is fit, but in very different ways. For some non-athletes, our fitness goal is simply to get out of bed, wash and dress, go to work, and perform typical daily activities with comfort and ease. For others, fitness means pitting their bodies against others in competition for medals. It is our lifestyle, our hobbies, and our goals which determine the level of fitness and the forms of fitness we require to succeed. The starting point for improving your fitness is to decide what kind of fitness you would like to have. To make fitness development easier, it's helpful to understand our potential for fitness and what it means to be fit, and then how to achieve it. Our potential for fitness. The human body is extremely adaptive. That means it adapts to the stresses it encounters by changing itself to handle these more efficiently. What we do with our bodies regularly tells our bodies how fit we need it to be. If we engage in regular physical activity, the body uses nutrients from our foods to make the body fitter through muscle development, increasing our red blood cell count, improving neural pathways, etc. These will all help us to handle the workload more easily. It appears that we can improve our fitness at any age by taking up exercise, unless we're already at our peak fitness levels, so it's never too late to start. Physical fitness training can offset many of the conditions we often attribute solely to the aging process. With a little time and effort, we can maintain a healthy level of strength, stamina, flexibility, and vitality. Use it or lose it. We lose fitness, if unused, to save energy and nutrient resources. Our bodies have the amazing ability to downgrade when our full fitness isn't required. Imagine the body as a factory where extra workers are hired and trained in, and new machinery is powered up when there's lots of work to be done. Likewise, workers are laid off and machinery is powered down when the workload reduces. In the body, our muscles and cardiovascular system will maintain a skeleton crew. That is the bare minimum needed to manage the workload to be performed. If we lead an inactive life, the body downgrades itself, so we can only expect our workers and equipment to be able to handle that lower level of activity. We will then struggle to keep up if the workload increases a little, and fail if what we ask of our bodies suddenly increases a lot. Upgrading our fitness. If we want to handle a heavier workload or more activity, that is, get fitter, it takes some time and consistent effort to upskill our bodies. We do this by progressively increasing the workload by small amounts. This extra work must be specific to the goal we wish to achieve. This means that if we want our bodies to be stronger, we must use our strength by consistently lifting or moving objects heavier than we currently lift. We can also increase strength by moving our own body through more difficult movements and positions, as is the case with body resistance exercise such as push-ups, chin-ups, and lunges. If we want the body to be more flexible, we must stretch it through the many movements it's already designed to perform. Again, we should increase the range of our flexibility slowly, bringing our muscles to positions where we feel a stretch that is comfortable rather than painful. By easing through the tension, we can make our soft tissues more elastic, and in time, we will see that we can stretch further, with more ease. If we want more stamina or endurance, we must engage in endurance exercises that require more oxygen to be brought to our working muscles. They will increase our heart and breathing rates, and stimulate physiological changes within us to make us more aerobically efficient. All these changes and gains will revert to our baseline level should we return to a sedentary lifestyle once more. Exercising the body can genuinely feel good while we exercise it. Initially, the discomfort level can often outweigh the visible benefits, especially if we push too hard too soon. Within weeks, this changes as the body develops and the discomfort lessens. By week 4 of a typical training program, most of us are feeling far better. By week 8, the improvements are easily visible, the exercise habit is formed, and the feel-good factor is high. Getting to week 8 is a major milestone. The keys to reaching that stage are finding an exercise form that's enjoyable, committing to the program, and having adequate patience to follow through as we upskill our bodies. The effort is absolutely worth it, and our bodies certainly deserve it. Shaping up. Firstly, we are fundamentally good enough regardless of shape, size, color, or perceived success. Getting in shape won't make us more valuable or worthwhile human beings. Secondly, we must be realistic about basing our expectations on what we see in advertising and media. Images of super-toned people are taken at their absolute fittest. There are many tricks of the trade used to enhance these images even further. They may not have eaten for hours or at all that day to keep their waistline small. Lighting angles and tanned and oiled skin are used to make muscles look more defined. Then, of course, there's the photoshopping. Digital wizardry can let photographers do almost anything. Rather than aiming for the perfect body, remember that a healthy body that works is an achievable and excellent goal. Thirdly, our body types are as individual as we are. What it means to be in good shape will vary from one person to the next. Be kind to yourself and realistic in your expectations. In both sports science terms and in Ayurvedic medicine, there are three distinct body types. Each of us can be any combination of these three categories. The three main body types in scientific terms are endomorphs, which are large and heavy builds, ectomorphs, which are lean and slim builds, and mesomorphs, medium muscular build. Acknowledging our own natural body type to get it fit and healthy is more important than striving for a body type that is more natural for another person. Lastly, feeling good is more important than looking good, but the two can go hand in hand. Taking care of our bodies through healthy living choices will naturally give us a healthier look as our skin becomes clearer, posture improves, muscles tone up, and body fat levels balance. Well-being shines through in how we look, feel, and perform. Obesity. With obesity levels increasing rapidly in Western culture, we can't ignore this issue while discussing health. Obesity is defined by the World Health Organization as abnormal or excessive fat accumulation that presents a risk to health. Obesity is considered a major risk factor for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. Being skinny isn't necessarily a sign of good health, nor is carrying body fat a definitive sign of poor health, but obesity is generally an indicator of imbalance in the body and lifestyle. There are certainly some cases where metabolic disorders and other diseases cause weight gain and fluid retention, and these would need to be addressed by a specialist. But in general, when we're physically active with a balanced diet, most of the energy we consume is used by our muscles to fuel our movement and bodily functions. When we're inactive, the unused carbohydrates and fats will go to our fat stores instead. We'll only burn off the stored fat when our activity levels increase and our muscles use more fuel than we consume. Again, this comes from our body's survival mechanisms that would have saved some energy as fat when food was plentiful and used it when food was scarce. These mechanisms haven't yet adapted to the fact that human societies increasingly have access to more food than we need, but can survive without moving very much at all. The volume of food we eat is only one part of the puzzle. What and how we eat are also factors. Three pillars of fitness. Now that we have a clearer understanding of what fitness is and the potential we possess to develop and maintain higher levels of fitness, we can discuss what I would consider to be the three main aspects of physical fitness. These are flexibility, strength, and stamina, and are all areas over which we have much control. Improved levels of each of these forms of fitness will afford us more opportunities in where we can go and what we can do with our bodies. Developing them will also affect our physical appearance through muscle tone and posture, while strengthening our sense of physical well-being. When developing fitness, your training program must be geared towards that end. There are plenty of fitness professionals to lead you down the correct path. Do some research, ask around, and invest your time in a good one, then follow their advice.